Y'all bear with me today. It's allergy season, and you know if I get the least bit emotional, that my sinuses go crazy. So I'll go ahead and take this jacket off. That don't have anything to do with nothing, but yeah, it makes me cooler. Yeah, so good to be here, and so good to see each and every one of you, and I'm just so happy to see Brother Don, and you're an integral part of us, whether you think or not. You know, we each and every one of you are an intricate part of us, and whenever you're not here, when you're not with us, anybody, you're missed. You're missed dearly. Isn't that right, Aunt Eileen? That's right. It's a joy to me as I see each and every one of you come into the building or come in onto the grounds. It's a joyous occasion for me to see, and I'm always looking forward to seeing you. We sang some wonderful songs, and that I want us to look at the I Love to Tell the Story, number 180. Let's look at that just a minute. I appreciate that selection. I appreciate the thought and the sentiment of this song. Let's just look at it a little carefully and a little slowly. You know, sometimes when we sing the words, but we're not concentrating exactly what the songwriter is expressing. So let's look at this one. It says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Do you tell that story? You do? Do you have the opportunity to tell that story about your Jesus, the unseen things above, Jesus and his glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, and about his love? Do you love to tell that story? Are you telling that story? If you're not, maybe you need to tell it a little more, you know. I don't tell it enough. I try to, in conversation with people, if they ever open the door just a little bit, you know, I sure have a conversation with them about it. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. I know it's a true story. Why do you know that? Because it's been given to you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He put his love in your heart, and you have an understanding. You know the story. You know it's true, and you stand by it strong, don't you? Yeah. You'd stand up and fight for it. I know you would. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. When you think about the story of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied in the job that he did? Are you satisfied that he finished the work that he came to do? Are you satisfied? Yes, it's satisfied. Nothing else can make you feel that satisfied and that comfortable and that happy than to stop and think about our Savior Jesus Christ, who did for us something we can't do for ourselves. Is that not satisfying? Knocked the pen off. It's satisfying to me. Then the chorus goes, we know, let's just go back to the second verse. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. You can't dream or want something on this earth that is better than what the story of our Savior is, the better than what Christ accomplished for us. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. What did it do for you? What did that story do for you? Do you know, do you understand what the story did, what Christ did for you? He did for you what you could not do. You were totally incapable. I mean, when the Lord destroyed the earth with flood, he looked across the earth and see if there's anybody that did good, and there's no, not one. If you're of Adam, if you're flesh, I'm sorry, you're just not, you're not, you don't have in you the ability to please the Lord. If it wasn't for the blood covering you of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Him seeing you perfect because of the Christ's blood and His redemption, we'd be in bad shape. Third verse. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. Is that not the truth? In a sense, when Brother Joe and I get in this stand, we're attempting to tell the story about our salvation, about Jesus, and about His love. And each time we attempt and we try to do it, it seems that much sweeter to us. I don't know if it passes out to you like it does for us, but it affects me. It gives me comfort. I love to tell the story. For some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. You know, there are some people that have not heard the sweet story of their salvation. Now, you're not going to tell, if you tell the story to a group of people, not everybody is going to hear it. Not everybody is going to receive it. Not everybody has been given the softness in their heart or the understanding of the story. But there are those that will. There are some that will. I love to talk to people who have not heard the true story of their salvation. I talk to people that come in my store who are religious people, and they are real happy about their religious life. And I give them encouragement. And as we continue to talk, they start hearing a few things from me that they've never heard before. I'll say something like, isn't it wonderful that our Savior did for us what we cannot do for ourselves? In spite of us, He did it. He accomplished it. And they say, yeah, but I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, and I had something to do with it. And that gives me an opportunity to talk to them about that very subject. We have a responsibility to accept the responsibility of being the Lord's child. We can accept the responsibility once we know that we're His child. We can accept that responsibility, and we can stand up and we can serve Him and do the things that He wants us to do. We can accept that responsibility, but we do not create that life in ourselves. It's given to us. It's a gift. Said and done. But we can stand up and accept the responsibility to be a good steward, to follow Him, to do the things that He would have us to do. And do we have comfort? Does it make you feel good when you know you did what the Savior wanted you to do? I see heads shaking up and down. It makes you feel wonderful. Does it make you feel terrible when you know you go against the word of the Lord? You go against His commandments? Does it make you feel bad? Yes, same thing. So, I love to tell the story, and I love this song. Thank you for Kim. Did you select that? Yeah, okay. You're so good. I always count on Kim for a song. If I get stuck, I can look at her, and she's got a song for me, and that's wonderful. I've really enjoyed Megan this morning in the song service. As I was leading and looked back at her, yeah, I'm talking about you. You can look up here. As I looked back at you, we were singing a song that you might not have been real familiar with. But she had her book open, and she was looking down at that book, and I could see her mouthing the words, reading the words, and singing along with us. And I knew it was a song she may be not real familiar with. And that touched my heart. She was doing the best she could with her ability to sing praises to her Savior. And she has a desire to come and be with us and to be at church. And that's not something that was just willy-nilly given to her. That's something the Lord gave her. That's been put in her heart. That love and that desire is a gift from our Heavenly Father. Nothing she did that created that. And it's a beautiful thing. I love seeing the Lord's people come together and sing praises and worship his holy name. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. And I hope you love to tell that same story. Let's look a little bit about the story. Let's go to Ephesians. What can be more plain about the story that we know than the book of Ephesians? And I'd been studying, I've got to admit, I've listened to a lot of sermons, and I go hear a lot of ministers preach. I go to meetings and things, and especially the last couple of years, two or three years, that I've had this burden on my heart to speak to the Lord's people, to tell this story. And I've been confused about what am I supposed to do, you know? I know I'm supposed to study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I had my wife get that verse put on a plaque on a wall, and she's able to order things like that in her store. And I've got it behind my desk at the office. And I hung it up there about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I've come, every time I come into my store, I look at that plaque. Study to show that self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, if you're studying something, Taylor, if you're studying something and you're teacher knows that you should know this, and you've been lax in studying, and you don't know it, and he asks you a question, or she, and you can't answer it, do you feel some kind of shame about that? I should know this, and I didn't do that. That's what he's talking about, study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we don't have to split hairs with the word of truth, but I think what that's talking about there, it's talking about the law dispensation and the New Testament dispensation. There's truth about the way it was in the Old Testament, about the they were under the law, they were under bondage, but now we're under grace. But I kept looking at that or thinking about that, and it just hit me the other day as I was thinking about how am I supposed to present some topic to these people that's, and I listen to preachers, and we're going to take this chapter and we're going to break it down, and they're just so meticulous with it. They know all that, they talk about it, and they're informative. They have references over here, and they capture your attention. And I said, Lord, good Lord, am I ever going to be able to do that and be able to preach that way and be structured? And when I get through, people thinking, whoa, that was a great sermon, you know. Brother Joe's shaking his head, yes. How do you do this? I walked in the store the other day and I looked at that scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's all I've got to worry about, is study to prove myself unto God, a workman that don't need to be ashamed about the word of the Lord. Rightly divide the word of truth. If I don't structure something that's just really the world would love to see, you know, it wasn't that great. How structured was that? Look, he had a piece of paper, and it's not man that I've got to worry about. It's not the man that I need to think about. It's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who I need to show myself approved to. And you know what? It's made me study a lot harder in the last week. Here I've been just kind of bouncing along, studying a little bit, but now I've got to study, and I got to show myself approved unto God. And that's a scary thing. Scary thing. The first chapter of Ephesians, and this is something good to take out and read. I've said I need to stay away from Ephesians because everywhere you go, preachers are preaching out of Ephesians. And I don't need to be just like everybody else. But you need to read it. This is us. First chapter, first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It wasn't Paul's will to be an apostle. It was the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now this whole book of Ephesians is to who? It's to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's not written to the devil and his angels, is it? No, it's pretty clear who this whole book of Ephesians is being written to. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according and he's going to tell these people, the saints and the people, the faithful in Christ Jesus, he's going to tell them some things about themselves. According as he hath chosen us, that's Paul and these people that he's talking to, in him before the foundation of the world. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's before the world was founded. That's back before Genesis. This was done. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame before him in love. So your sins, your iniquity, the things, your failures, the things that you don't think you live up to, doesn't matter. You're seen holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us. What's that word mean, predestinated? Well, it's, you know, it's a destination, and it was predetermined. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Whose will? Your will, because you decided to accept him. You because you did such and such, and you did said this many Hail Marys or whatever. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's the glory. Who glories in this? It's his glory and his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Doesn't say wherein he hath made us an opportunity to be accepted. He's made us accepted. It's pretty simple, isn't it? He did it. You're accepted. Can you do anything about that? Can you turn that around? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven or which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. What is it saying to us? It tells us again, we were predestinated to be what we are. It's all for his glory. Everything is done after the counsel of his will. Whose will? The Lord's will. Was it your will? You didn't have nothing to do about it, man. When he was that back there predestinating all these people, you didn't have anything to do about it. You didn't get a group text, I don't think. Did anybody get a group text before the foundation of the world? No, you didn't get one. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom also ye also trusted. Now he's telling you that you trust this. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now what's he saying here? You trusted in this. After that you heard the word of truth. Well, that makes sense. You can't trust in something if you don't have an understanding, if you hadn't heard about it. You can't trust that we're going to have lunch today until you go in there and see that there's food in there. Well, we're not going to have lunch today. But anyway, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Oh, wait a minute. Now here's some believing, Brother Gary. After that you believed. Well, that's us doing something, isn't it? Well, okay. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You hear the gospel, the Lord gives you the understanding. The Spirit comes into you. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is faith, and faith is belief. You don't believe something unless the Lord gives you that ability to believe. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What promise? Promise of your eternal salvation. Promise of the destination. The promise of Him, the Lord coming back. 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now some people say, oh, look, see that work. If you believe, it says there, you got to believe. No, it's not saying that. It's exceeding great of His power to usward who believe. Who believe? Who have been given the power, the ability to believe, to understand, who have been born of the Spirit of God. You're not going to believe unless the Lord has given it to you. I'm going to jump down. I'm getting a little deep here, but well, let's read the 22nd verse. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I like the 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, after I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, that was confirming to Paul that, hey, these are the Lord's people. They have faith in the Lord Jesus, and they love all the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's what we need to do for each other. We need to not cease in giving thanks for each other. And we need to make mention of each other in our prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You desire to know more about Him, He's going to give it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. The knowledge that you have in Him can grow. Now, if you take and say, well, okay, I believe all that, that's good, but I don't have nothing to do. I put this Bible over here. I've been saved eternally. I was foreordained. I was predestinated. There's nothing for me to do. I'm not going to worry about the Bible anymore. I'm not going to read and study. I'm not going to go to church. Well, you're not going to grow in the Spirit of the Lord. Your understanding and your knowledge of Him is going to wane, and it's going to get to a point you might not even remember that you knew Him. Now, He'll never forget you, but you might not remember that you're His, that you're His child. And the blessings of the salvation that you feel now, you're not going to feel it anymore. Are you going to lose that salvation? No. But you're not going to feel it. You're not going to rejoice in it. You all know this. When you've been away from the church, away from the Lord's people, it gets easier. You know, an engine in a car starts missing before it quits. Does that make sense? It starts missing. When it starts missing, then it gets worse and worse, and then eventually it quits. Same thing with the Lord's people. You start missing a little bit before you eventually quit. And you miss that, you lose that joy and that blessing. I've had that away from me long enough. But you, he gives you more knowledge and more blessing and more understanding. The more you desire, the more you want to know about his love, the more he's going to show it to you. Let me tell you, he will. I'm a firm believer in that. I've got proof of it. It happened to me. We have a wonderful, wonderful situation here at this church. Midland Primitive Baptist Church. Our legal name is Beulah Primitive Baptist Church. This is a place, it's an oasis for us to come together and sing songs together, songs of understanding, songs of praise. Are there 200 people here? No, there's not. Would we like for it to be 200 people? Sure we would. But if it's us 15 or 20, and we're all here with the same desire to serve and worship and praise our Heavenly Father, I'll take it. I'll take it. And if it's five of us, I'll take that too. If everybody is coming here because they have a desire to serve our Heavenly Father and to fellowship and encourage the saints of God. Do you know, you're being here, you get to fellowship, but you encourage the saints of God. You're an encouragement to me. You can encourage each other. You know, that world outside those doors is getting pretty rough, and it's going to get rougher. And Taylor, I'm sorry, son. I don't know what's going to happen out there. I pray the Lord comes back before it gets any worse than it is now. But you're going to be up against things that my generation and generations before me have never seen. Satan is out there. He's working his will on people. But we have a stronger power on our team. He cannot be moved. No one can stay his hand. He's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I appreciate your love and your attention and your affection and coming to be with us. And I encourage you to come back as often as you can.